Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 32, and then Psalms 51:10, and then Psalms 37:4. We're going to have three key verses today, and I'm going to build my message on those key verses. My topic, if you're writing, is called The Enemies of the Heart. The Enemies of the Heart. We're in a series called You Drive Me Crazy, and this is going to be my last sermon of the series. Next week, I'm starting a series called Baggage. Travel light. So we're going to talk about baggage, okay? But today, we're going to finish in our series, You Drive Me Crazy. And today, I think it's going to be the best message that I've preached in this series. But we'll see. First service was pretty good. Amen. Let's read the Bible. This is Solomon, King Solomon, the wisest man, tell Jesus. It says this: guard your heart above all else. Say word guard. What is the meaning of the word guard? What? Protect, okay? So Bible says to guard something, okay? And it says the weirdest thing: guard your heart. What do we usually guard? We guard our money, we put them in a bank, correct? What else do we guard? We guard our children, our pets, so they don't run on the street. What else do we guard? We guard material things, our vehicles. We guard, we lock them up, our houses. We guard things. The Bible says those are good things, but above all else, you should guard your heart. Why? For it determines the course of your life. Okay? So it's... the heart is the key to your life and where you will end up in 5, 10, 15, 20 years if we live till then. Now let's do the next verse, Psalm 51:10. It's the verse when David messed up royally. He committed adultery. He killed somebody actually to cover it up. I mean, I don't even know how the Bible calls him the man after God's own heart, because David was a mess. But here's a clue that gives us a reason why David is called a man after God's own heart. He had an ability to repent, right? So a lot of people are better people than David, but they would not repent of their sins. And when David would mess up, he would repent. He had an ability to repent. And this is what it says: create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. So notice David doesn't say, God, change my heart, make it a little bit better. No, he says, create. Do something creative in my heart. My heart is so messed up that only your creative power can save it. Have you ever said that to yourself? God, my heart is a mess. My thinking, my motives, my manipulations, God, I need you to not just change this heart, but create in me a new heart and renew a loyal spirit within me. And then in a verse number 12 in that same chapter, he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. When a heart is corrupt, when a heart is poisoned, when a heart is hurt, joy is usually what leaves first. Some of us do not experience joy in our life because of the heart. And David realized, when I am in right standing with God, I have joy. If I am my heart gets corrupt, I lose my joy. So he says, renew a loyal spirit with me. Renew. Create and renew. Okay. Now the next verse, Psalm 37:4. Take delight, or delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Now, if you delight yourself in the world, you will receive what the world gives to your heart, okay? If you delight yourself in the Lord, you will have different desires, okay? Delight yourself in the world, you get this. You get, your heart begins to give you back, like... there's a computer term, some of you know, garbage in, garbage out. So put the world in,
you get what the world gives you. You put delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you desires of your heart. Desires of human heart, when it's attached to the world, are different than desires of a human heart that's attached to the Lord. How many of you know God changes our desires? Sometimes what we wanted, now we don't want. We're like, I can't believe I wanted her or him. Come on, somebody, right? We started saying, God, give me that. And then we're like, thank you for taking him away or not giving him. Amen? Right? When you're in the flesh, you get from the flesh. When you're in the spirit, God changes the motives of your heart. Amen? God wants to give you his desires. Delight in him, you get his desires. Delight in the world, you get the world desires. And the results are opposite. Opposite. Amen. So that's the scripture for today. My message is the enemies of the heart. So today we're going to look at what are the enemies of our heart. But before I go into explaining this, the enemies of the heart, what does this have to do with You Drive Me Crazy series? Okay. And it has a lot to do. And I think it's the end of my message, so I have to kind of bring it all together. Let me ask you a question. Have you noticed that some people are always agitated? Everything and everyone drives them crazy. And then there's other people who are patient, gentle, peaceful, loving, content. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that some people, everything drives them crazy? Everything. Everybody annoys them. Everybody. And then the others, they're so loving, so nice to be around. Oh, it's okay. You messed up. Oh, it's okay. You know, you tried your best, honey. You know, who do you want to hang out with? Those who always snap at you? Those who always stressed out, uptight? Or do you like to hang out with people who are like, it's okay, I understand. I'm nobody's perfect, you know? Obviously, I know the answer for that question. Amen? Amen. But I want to say that, have you noticed that some trees have good fruit and some trees have a rotten fruit? Why? It's the condition of the heart. Bible likens you and me to a tree. Okay? Now, let me just give you an explanation. A tree is supposed to produce fruit. Amen? So, the good fruit on a tree, Bible says, is love. A rotten fruit on a tree is hate. The good fruit on your tree, you're the tree, I'm the tree, is joy. The rotten is anxiety, irritation, bitterness. Third is peace. Calamity is the rotten fruit. So if you look at your heart, you will be able to see the condition of your heart. How are you doing when it comes to joy? Do you have good fruit in your life? No, I never am joyful. I'm always so serious. I'm a realist, you know. Do you have peace? Well, when I get high, maybe. But no, I'm a type A personality. You know, we blame it on those things, right? So you're a tree, and the fruit will tell you the condition of your heart. The healthy heart, listen to this, write this down. Healthy heart, healthy life. Healthy heart, happy life. Healthy heart, happy life. Write this down. My point number one is this: guard your heart. What does that mean? Why? Why should I guard my heart? Well, because your heart is extremely valuable. You don't guard worthless things. Guys, you know garbage day is on Friday, right? Or whatever is your garbage day. You take out garbage and put it on the street curb. Notice you didn't put a lock on it. You don't care what happens to it because we don't guard worthless things. And Solomon says, above all else, guard your heart, because the reason people drive you crazy because your heart is unguarded. Your heart is wrong. So what does King Solomon mean when he says guard your heart? In the desert of Palestine or Israel, water was like sometimes more important than gold. Sometimes you can have gold, but if you have no water, your animals don't drink, your plants don't get nourished, and your army, no matter how strong it is, can die in the desert. Okay? So Solomon says, guard your heart above all else, because out of it flow the issues of life. Okay? Or out of it flow. He's talking about water. Why is he talking about water and heart? Because in those days, water came from wells and springs. And in a wartime, during the time of war, the enemy could easily poison a well or a spring and destroy a whole town in a matter of days. An enemy could come in and poison a well, and all of your soldiers in the desert, remember, they would die. So during the wartime, the smart kings would put soldiers to guard the wellsprings of life, the wellsprings of life. Notice, they would put soldiers to guard people. During the Ottoman Empire rule, Prince Vlad poisoned the wells of his own people to stop the progression, and a lot of his own people died, to stop the progression of Turkish Ottoman Empire, Muslim religion to spread there. So what he did was poison the wells. Well, in those days, they didn't have like poison like we do today. So you know what they would use? They would use rotten corpses of animals and humans that are infested with disease, right? And they would put it and hide them in wells or water sources. And that's where bubonic plague came in. And that's where tuberculosis came in. So they would find people who had disease and died from disease. And they would put them in the well, hide them there. And soldiers would come in thirsty because water is an essential thing, right? And what they would do is they would drink it. And in a couple of days, they would get sick and die. Okay? I'm talking about your enemy, the devil. And I'm talking about the Bible that says guard, let's put that verse, guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart. It determines the source, the direction of your life. Guard your heart. The heart is the essence of who you are, where your dreams and passions come from. It is the part that you connect with God and you connect with other people. Out of your heart overflow thoughts, words, and actions. Some of you are like, I didn't mean to say that. Yeah, you did, because that was in your heart. You know what Jesus said? Jesus says adultery doesn't happen first on the outside. Adultery happens in the heart first. Did you know that Jesus said that murder doesn't happen on outside first? Murder happens in the heart first. So Solomon says, listen guys, I know you like to focus on the outward appearances. And a lot of times we church people, we like to focus on skirts. Oh, your skirt is too short. Your cleavage is showing. Your shirt has a t-shirt in it. Your pants have holes in them. We like to focus on the outside, how people look. Especially when new people come, they don't act like us church people. We have masks on. We do. We come in looking our best here. Nobody ever says in church what they said on the way to church in their car. Nobody. Oh no, we're good in church. We Christians know how to play this game. But when new people come in, they don't know how to play it, and we look at them outside. But notice, God doesn't judge like human judges. God judges the heart. And notice, nobody else can judge your heart, because they don't know your heart. Only God can see and know your heart. Amen. Amen. And notice, God doesn't sometimes care about what David has done. He cares what's in his heart. Because it came out, what he has done came out of his heart. The adultery came from his heart. It was brewing in there. It was brewing. Murder came out of his heart. It was brewing in there. And we people will focus on the actions. God says, no, it starts in the heart. So Solomon says, make it priority. Guard. What do you have in your safe? Guns? Is that what you guard in your safe? Maybe gold coins? some of you. Maybe gold bar, silver. I don't know what you guard. I don't know what you guard. What's some ladies' jewelry? Your shoes? The purses, you guard that, make sure nothing gets to it. But God says, above all else. Now, those things are important. I'm not making fun of it. But guard your heart. I brought this little thing right here. And I'm going to use it as an example of your heart. Bible says, guard it. Because what Satan wants to do, if this is your heart, right? God wants it to be peaceful, joyful. Look at these snowmen. They're smiling, singing. Satan wants to do this to your heart and cause chaos, confusion, storm, destruction, cloudy, fear. Fear clouds us, right? Anxiety. This is what he wants to do. But notice he can't do that. He gives you thoughts. And then you do this. You go, oh, I can't. Right? And so watch. And that's what, and Satan's like, yes. I rattle him. I rattle her. Now I can use and do whatever I want through them. They'll hear me and do whatever I said. Have you ever had an argument with your spouse and your heart was peaceful, and after an argument it was like this? And when you were like this, Satan started giving you thoughts. You shouldn't even be with her. You give up on everything. Go to somewhere and surf the beach for the rest of your life. Right? Get away from your family. Leave him. Leave her. That's what Satan likes to do to your heart. And God says, no, I want there to be peace in your heart. So Solomon says this, guard your heart. What do you guard? Think about it. What is important to you? Maybe your business? You guard that. Maybe material things? You guard that. Maybe your children, those things are important. Don't get me wrong. But Bible says, above all else, the heart. God says in Isaiah, he said, we could have no peace. But to the one he loves, he gives peace. That's what God wants for you, peace in your heart. Amen. And then doesn't matter what kind of crazy comes into your life, because they will. Your child could drive you crazy. We were on vacation last week, and I got to spend 7 days with 3 of my children. And I didn't know that my 4-year-old could drive me nuts. You know, usually I come home at night, and my wife was like, I need to go somewhere. I'm like, why do you not like our children? That was my thinking. But after being with her, I was like, can we take her to babysitters? And right away, I got a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 11 and 12, and it was a lot. Moms, you got the nerves of steel. I'm for real. Give moms a hand clap. And so, note. Solomon doesn't say guard your heart when you get around to it, right? When you get around to it, nope. It would be nice if you guard your heart. No, that's not what he says. He didn't say other people should guard your heart. He didn't say pastor should guard your heart. That's not my job to guard your heart. We tell our children, they're growing up, and we tell them what? Listen, honey, guard your heart. You're going to see things. You're going to hear things. And we're not going to be always there to watch over you. You need to learn to guard your heart. When I go to the movies, I don't receive everything that comes in the movie. You know, there's a lot of worldly agenda in the movies today. How many of you know that? They put it in there as little sermons, right? And so I sit there, watch, laugh, and then I go, oh, nope. I'm not going to let that in my heart. I'm not gullible. I know. Bible says, be on the watch, because your enemy walks like the roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Even today, you're listening to this sermon and you have two voices. You hear my voice and you hear another loud voice in your mind that's trying to do this to you. It's trying to do this to you. It's trying to shake you up. They don't love you here. He's preaching about you. That's who he's preaching about, you. They know your business, right? And what he wants to do is this. So you know what you do? You just like, all they want is your money, right? What other thoughts come? They're not all as nice here as they look. Right? That's what he likes to do. That's what he likes to do. And he likes to build doubt and cause chaos in your heart. That's what he's trying to do right now. It's not the job of the people to guard your heart. It's not the job of the pastor to guard your heart. It's not a job of your parents to guard your heart. It's not the job of politicians or media to guard your heart. It is your responsibility. Today, you gotta, sometimes today when you're listening and you have a thought, just say no. When a thought comes, nobody loves me here. No, Satan, you're a liar. See, Jesus had those thoughts too. If you're a son of God, make these stones into bread. Nope. If you're the son of God, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. What did Jesus say? Nope. If you're the son of God, he takes him on the top of the tall building, temple, says, jump off. It says that angels will lift you up. Jesus said, no. Leave your marriage. Nope. Leave your children. Nope. Nope. You got to say no to the devil. Don't see, sometimes the only way to stop the thought is to say no. I'm not gonna self-destruct whatever God has been building for years in my life. I've been working too hard on this addiction. I'm not gonna give in now. I've been working too hard overcoming this negative emotion. I'm not gonna give in to it now. I've been sober for a long time now. I'm not gonna give in now. Satan, I'm not gonna give you the satisfaction. No. Just say no. Jesus did. You can do it too. Want a formula? If there is one, no, Satan. Today you're sitting and quietly you can say no. But you're a sinner. You're so bad. God doesn't love you. No, you're a liar, Satan. Say no. Amen? Guard your heart. Now, Satan cannot take your heart. It belongs to you. So guess what? He attacks it. He tries to bump it. He tries to turn it upside down. Amen? He wants to destroy you from the inside. Now, who are the enemies of our heart? I'm sure you're begging to ask me that. Pastor, who are the enemies of my heart? Who are they? Yeah. Well, are you ready for this? To write this down? Number one, it's guilt. Guilt is a huge enemy of the heart. You know what guilt is? I owe you. Okay, I know it's I gotta explain it. I gotta preach it. Guilt is I owe you. It's the feeling that says I am in debt. I'm in debt. For example, you borrowed money from somebody and you promised to pay them back. They called you, you changed your number, you moved to another city, and you thought you got away from it. But then there's this thing called guilt. It won't leave you alone. And maybe they said, I forgive you already. You don't have to pay me back, but you feel guilt. Guilt is a feeling of I owe you. I owe my mom. I owe God. I owe universe. I owe whatever, however you speak. How religious you are depends, or unreligious you are. You'll talk, your language will be different. But guilt is I owe you. It's the feeling, man. And so guilty people usually have secrets that they hide. Amen? Guilty people live with suspicion that they will be found out. Sometimes guilty people will pour out their guilt on other people so they can hide their own. Have you noticed guilty people find people who sin with the same guilt that they have and attack them? Guilty people find people who sin with the same sin they've sinned and attack them. Okay? So if you struggle with certain sin, you find somebody else who's struggling and you say, you shouldn't do that. What about you? Well, I haven't done it for 2 days. Whoop-de-doo. Right? And so guilty people, the most miserable church members are guilty people. People who have not dealt with their guilt, right? Who haven't dealt with their guilt usually are the bitterest, most angriest, most controlling people in the church. They look for a speck in their brother's eye because they don't want to deal with a log in their own eye. Guilty people, guys. But nowhere in the Bible does it say you should pull out a speck out of your brother's eye. Show me a verse. It's not there. Okay, so if you're living looking, what can I find in my pastor? What can I find in another church member, another church leader? A speck. Bible says that's not your job. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Your job is to pull out a log out of your own eye. Pull out a log out of your own eye. But in church, we have this culture sometimes, not in this church. We're building a new culture. Drama-free culture, okay? One drama, find another church. There's many in town. Not this one. I can't handle that. I'm sorry. Not the wrong pastor, wrong DNA. You don't fit. There's other churches who love drama, not this one. We want to create a drama-free church. Okay, where we come here, not to look, inspect people's fruit. How you doing? Are you spiritual enough? How much did you pray this week? None of your business. I come in to love people, encourage people. I come in to get some from God. I come in to delight myself in the Lord. I didn't come here to look at you. I'm not come here to judge your sins. I'm not a judge. I come here to worship and delight myself in the Lord. That's my job here today. That's why I'm here today. And I'm here to examine my own life. If I'm still in faith. Examine if there's secret sin in my life. My life. Because notice, if I focus on your life, I don't have time to focus on my life. Guilt is, I owe you feeling. I owe somebody money. Or sometimes I owe you feeling comes like this. You are having a person, not in this church though, a person's having an affair, okay? A person's having an affair or had an affair. And now they feel guilty. So they start buying their spouse or girlfriend or whatever some more flowers than they ever have. More gifts than they ever had. You know, they try to cover it up, you know, cover it up. Notice it's I owe you. Guilt is I owe. Sometimes you watch porn, not in this church though, of course. And you didn't mean to. You started watching kitty videos on YouTube. And then before you knew it, you were... Right? You started watching fail videos on YouTube and then before you knew it. But I'm not talking about this church. No, you come on. I love my church. And after it feels so good, devil says, go. You get a release. You're gonna feel so good, and then you do it, and then he says, I can't believe it. You call yourself a Christian, don't even show your foot in a church, right? That's the next thing the devil says. He says, go and cheat on your spouse. It's going to feel so good. Nobody's going to know. Whose thought is that? That's the devil. And then as soon as you do it, he says, I can't believe you did it. You are the worst. And so guilt comes. Now I know in Christianity, we say we're not under condemnation. But guilt has sometimes a right in our life. Okay? If you didn't feel any guilt, you'd be a sociopath. You'd be a narcissist. You'd be a serial killer. Serial killers don't feel guilt or remorse. Okay? So maybe you were stealing from your work. Nobody caught you, but you feel guilty. Maybe you stab a friend in the back. You stabbed them in the back. You talked behind their back. You stabbed them in the back. They were nice to you. They were good to you. They were a good friend, but you did it. And now you live with constant guilt. I know it's going to be quiet, and that's okay. Don't raise hands. Don't do nothing. Just listen. And you live with guilt. Guilt, now I owe. I owe. And I don't know who to pay back. Because how do you pay stabbing somebody in the back? I apologize, but I still feel guilty. Right? I remember in middle school, myself and this other kid were always getting bullied, okay? And I would fight back. The only few words that I knew in English, I told you that 2 weeks ago. You want to fight? You want to fight me? Okay. Don't do that. but there was this other kid. And when they didn't pick on me, they would pick on... I'm not even going to say his name because we're online and... They told me not to use names. And so he had acne, and people were just merciless with him. And I remember sitting there angry that they're doing this to him. They're bullying him. They're talking about it. They're laughing at him. They're causing this big uproar to laugh at him. And they call him different names. And I just sat there. And because they didn't touch me, they didn't touch me, so I'm good. But those evil kids, call them evil. Well, what they did was evil. They weren't evil, but what they did was evil. They would do that to me. They would laugh at him, and when they couldn't laugh no more, they would laugh at me. And so after I was done with school, a guilt would come to me periodically. I'm like, I can't believe I didn't stand up for this friend. He was a friend. Me and him were friends according to, like, two kids who get bullied become friends. That's how we were friends. We weren't really friends, but I was like, why didn't I stand up for him? But I was like, so such a coward, because they're not touching me. And Bible says defend the defenseless. It does. So as a Christian, well, it's none of my business. No, if somebody's getting bullied or somebody's getting abused, it's your job to defend them. It doesn't mean you have to get in a fight with somebody, but you got to defend them. We as Christians doesn't mean that we're just these useless. We don't do anything. No, if you touch my friend, I'm going to fight for him. If you abuse the weak, it's our job, guys. It's our job. Amen. Amen. It's our job to stand up for people. Amen. And so guilty people have a debt they feel like they owe. And so how do you, and guilt will do this in your heart. You wake up in the morning, everything is good. Yeah, this has music. I'm not going to play it for you. You wake up in the morning, everything is good, and then devil says, you remember that kid in school? You didn't stand up for him. And that's what he does. And before you know it, your heart is hurting. And now you're snapping at people, because when a healthy heart, happy life. Chaotic heart, everybody drives you crazy. Have you noticed in this series, and you drive me crazy, a lot of the things we said was about us, not about the other people. Drive me crazy. No, I drive myself crazy. That's the honest truth. I drive myself crazy most of the time. What is the answer to guilt? It's a simple word, but it's so hard to do. It's called confession, right? Confession, but it's not easy to do. How do you confess? Well, sometimes it's not a good idea to confess it to just anybody, right? You got to find a safe place to confess. Somebody maybe who's not connected to your work where you've messed up. Maybe it's not somebody who's in your family members, you know, because a lot of people have a hard time keeping secrets. Actually, it's impossible to keep a secret. What this Bible says, there's nothing hidden. There's no secret that will not be revealed. Guys, listen to me. If you're doing something and say, let's keep it a secret, it will never be a secret. That's the law of the universe. Every hidden thing will be revealed. Look at Donald Trump. Look at Hillary Clinton. Every hidden secret thing in their life is being revealed. And now that we have media and video, but God has a better video system that records your life. He records your thoughts, your sight, what you look at, what you smell. He records everything. What they thought they did 30 years ago, 40 years ago, is not now coming back. And I'm not talking bad about your politician. I'm not. We're not political here. But I'm saying in Hillary's life and in Trump's life, crap is coming out. And I'm going to use that word. A lot of it is coming out. Confession. Find somebody. Sometimes you might have to get a counselor and pay him and confess. Somebody you don't even know. Find a Christian counselor you don't know and confess it. You know, confession will bring relief. Sometimes people are sick because they have guilt. And in Book of James, it says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so you may be healed. Listen, guilt is a sickness. It's a poison in your heart. And that's what Satan wants to do. I shouldn't have done that in my previous marriage. I shouldn't have done that. It's the guilt. Well, right now you can't do nothing about it maybe anymore. If you can do something about it, do it. But if you cannot, you got to confess it. You got to say, God. And who do you confess to? God. Confess to church leaders. But if you don't want... Sometimes I even don't want you to confess things to me. I said, find another pastor you don't know and just confess it to him. Okay? Because I just don't want to, you know, to for you. Because sometimes people do this. They confess it to you and three other people. And then it comes out. And then they say, my pastor told everybody. And it's like, no, you told three other people. And so I'm like, I just don't want to deal with that. I don't need to know your secrets. I really don't. I got so much drama in my life. I got so many problems in my life, I don't need one more to hold. You know, but confession is a solution. The next, point number two, what is the enemy of your heart? Is gossip. Gossip is a huge enemy of your heart. People who don't feel good about themselves temporarily feel better when they gossip or talk negatively about other people. Wouldn't you agree? People who don't feel good about themselves will gossip about other people. But if they gossip to you about other people, they will gossip to other people about you. Amen? Gossipers will gossip. I don't allow people to come to me and gossip to me about other people. I'm not your garbage dumpster. I'm not going to allow that in my heart. Listen, gossip is a demonic seed of destruction that's trying to break into your heart. Satan is trying to plant a seed in your heart. Do you remember in that last series? What was the last series? Exceed? We talked about your heart is what? A soil. And when it's a good soil, soil does not discriminate what seed it allows to grow in it. Come on, somebody. Soil will take what seed you place in it or what seed you allow. What is seed? It's information. What are thoughts? It's information. And so thoughts, if you entertain them, they're on the outside. They're right here. But if you entertain them, they want to get inside of your heart and be planted as a seed. And before you know it, there's a thorn growing in your heart. And you wonder why you feel like this. The heart has been poisoned. The enemy came in and poisoned the water well. The springs of water. He poisoned it. And now you're wondering what's going on. Why do I feel this way? Why can't my mind shut off? It's been poisoned by something. Why can't I have any peace? It's been poisoned. And now there's chaos in your soul. Am I talking practical? Come on, somebody. Gossip, listen to me, is a demonic seed of destruction. And usually, you've probably noticed this in your life. You go to work, new person comes to work, and they're happy, they're good, and then they meet the gossip of your business. What happens? The gossip right away tells them who is what and who is who, right? And before you know it, a nice person is bitter, angry, snappy. Have you noticed that? One person. Richard Flynn calls them monkeys. Personality type. Monkey personality types. They come in and go. And then before you know it, monkeys run in clans. Have you seen videos where monkeys come in and steal people's purses and things like that? And they pull their hair and they steal their jewelry. Monkeys, right? And so what happens? Same thing happens in a church, guys. Person comes to church, they're changed by God, they're focusing on God, and then they meet a gossip. Did you know they don't love you as they say they do? Oh, really? And watch. And you allow that thought in your heart. And that, notice, it's a foreign thought. It's an alien thought. Those thoughts are not supposed to be there. Okay? Your heart was built for thoughts that are true, that are lovely, that are good, right? But when an evil seed or evil information gets through, it starts doing this because it doesn't belong there. And you're like, what's going on? Why do I feel hot right now? Have you ever been so angry you're hot? Everybody's cool, and you come in a room and you're like, right? Right? Something's happening in your heart. Something's happening in your heart. Gossip. Gossip is informational poison and will poison your heart. And then you wonder, where's my joy? I was so happy before I met that person. And the devil says, no, that's not that person. That's just something else. It's all these other people. It's their fault. It's everybody's fault, right? Fight those thoughts. The best way to deal with those thoughts and is to say, no. I like these people in my work. I like these family members in my home. I like these schoolmates in my school. I like these people in my church. Nobody said they were perfect. But I'm not going to focus on 1% or 2% of their, imperfection and miss the 98% of the good things about this person. Amen. So be careful, because a gossiper carries a seed. And what they want to do is they want you to open your heart and plant it in your heart. That's what gossipers do. They carry information, and it's tiny. But when it's planted in your heart, it will become a weed that chokes out the good things out of your life. So here's the question. How do you deal with gossipers? What's the solution for gossip? Number one is when they say something negative about somebody you know, just say, no, I disagree. Okay? Number two, you say something like this. Well, I don't believe that about that person. I think they're a good person. Right? Number three, you start talking good about that person. Well, I know this person for many years, and they've been a good person. I just can't believe that about them. Do you have any evidence? Right? Because it's so easy right now to destroy a person. I could say about any one of you. Spouses, did you know that your husband is cheating on you? What is that? That's a seed. That's a lie. That's a seed of information. It's a corrupt information. It's a virus. Notice and watch. Some of you will be like, really? No. You have any evidence? I know my spouse. I love my spouse. And I'm not going to live in fear. I'm not going to live in suspicion. I'm not going to look at my spouse any other way. But notice how easy it is to do. Notice how much our media uses that. They just tell you stuff. And then they say, oops, we're sorry. What they told you was on the front page. Their apology is in small tiny letters. On a day that nobody reads the newspaper, right? But notice the damage has been done. It's so easy to say, do you know that guy abuses his wife? And you know what? If somebody does that in a church, most of the church will be like, wow, I can't believe it. It couldn't be further from the truth, but notice it just didn't happen now. It happened before Joseph's Potiphar's wife. Come on, somebody. Gossip is so powerful. It's a seed. It's the information that wants to plant itself in the heart. Now, I'm not saying that information is not always true. You could be, don't be blind. I mean, yeah, if there's evidence, if then go for the evidence. But many times, it's gossip. Many times it's gossip. If they give you evidence, if you've been suspecting it yourself, if evidence comes from multiple sources, well, yeah, maybe you should listen. But maybe it's just gossip. Maybe it's just demonic seed. And you were enjoying your job and now you're miserable because of that poison. Information. Informational destruction. That's what Satan wants. You know you are information. You know you're built from information? Guys, who loves science here? What is human being built from? Information. DNA. What is DNA? Come on. You know this. It's information and it's blocks of information. Notice God created to be a good information. And what did Satan do? No, he didn't corrupt it. He brought his own information. Watch this. Did God really say that you shouldn't eat from that tree?
What is that? That's information. And what did she do? Come on in. That's a good thought, Satan. That's a good thought, my man. You're such a good friend, snake. You're such a good friend, serpent. Notice, information. That's what he wants to do. You know, that's why you should fill your heart with the word of God, because it's good information. There's no evil in it. Because the word of God is the uncorruptible information. The word of the devil is to corrupt you. Your negative thoughts, listen to me, is to corrupt you. Man, if I didn't preach anything else, I think that would be it. Well, no, hold on. No, I got more to say. No. No, you guys, seriously, turn the music down. Yeah. No, I'm serious. Yeah, I'm serious. I got time. No, I don't. Okay. I'm going to read this, okay? And I'm done. Let me read this. Oh, I'm out of time. Guys, this service just flew by. I think we were like on spirit time today, because it just flew by. Okay, so gossip is the information that will do this to you. The next one is greed. Greed is opposite. So, for example, guilt says, I owe you. You know what greed says? I owe myself. I deserve it. I work too hard. That's what greed says. The next one is anger. Okay? That's what causes this in our heart. And we should guard ourselves from anger. You know what anger says? You owe me. I can't believe you did that. I deserve better. Anger is you owe me feeling. Okay? Greed is I owe myself. Guilt is I owe you. Anger is you owe me. You owe me. I do so much for this family. You owe me. Can't believe you treat me like that. You owe me. I make so much money. You should treat me. You owe me. Next one, jealousy. Have you ever been jealous? It's a poison of the heart. What does jealousy say? God owes me. Jealousy is a feeling. God owes me. I can't believe he gave it to you, you and you, and didn't give it to me. I can't believe he gave you gifts, talents, he gave you money, ability, he gave you that nice family, nice wife, nice husband, he didn't give it to me. Give you that business, that car, that house, but he didn't give it to me. Give you those looks, that boyfriend, that girlfriend, but didn't give it to me. You owe me. Satan's like, yeah, you're right. He's not a good God. He owes you. He owes you. And so, have you ever been jealous, like really jealous of somebody? It sucks. It's like being angry. It's just a different feeling. It comes from the same place. Quickly, disappointment. He wants to bring disappointment into your life. Discouragement into your life. Opposite of courage. He wants to bring disillusionment into your heart. That's the enemy. Disillusionment is this. I married him, I married her, and I expected this. And this is what I got. Disillusionment. So those are the enemies of our heart. So when the Bible says guard your heart, guard it, right? What from? Guilt, gossip, greed, anger, jealousy, disappointment, discouragement, disillusion. Guard your heart. Guard it. By 30, I should have been here. By 45, I should have been here. By 60, I should have been here, but I'm not. Guard your heart. You're going to get bitter. You're exactly where you need to be. This is just school. The eternal life is ahead, and it's forever. And whatever you didn't realize here, you're going to realize there. Amen. So how do I keep my heart healthy? Here's four R's, letter R. Four R's. And I'm just going to read it to you. And at your life groups this Wednesday, I want you to discuss it. Okay? First is reflection.
Okay, reflection is important. What do I mean by reflection? It's the time, spending time with pure information. Okay, there's two informations in this world. There's pure information and corrupt information. Okay, the world gives you corrupt information. God's word is pure information. You're like, Pastor, again, God's word and prayer? Yes. See, your heart is like a sponge. It wants information. Have you noticed that? You wake up in the morning, and what does your heart want? Information. That's why you go to Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Fox News, CNN, right? That's why do you do that? Because you want information. Your mind, your heart, mind connected, they want information. So now, what kind of seed, information is a seed, what kind of seed you're going to put in your heart that morning? His mercies renew every morning, so your heart gets a new slate every morning. It's like a reset. What kind of information are you going to put in? And we have two options. We can put the Word of God in the morning, or we can put Facebook. Notice, Word of God, after a couple of minutes, it satisfies. Facebook doesn't matter how much you look. You hate it. You want to throw it away and buy a flip phone again. And guess what? You look at it. You eat it. You eat it. You eat it. You eat it. And it's never enough. And you hate it. And it has no nutrient values in your heart. And that's a corrupt information. Guys, listen to what I'm saying. This is big. You won't hear this preach in a lot of places. You won't. Watch what's getting in. What kind of information is getting into your heart. That's why you got to reflect. Jesus spent time so he could be filled with that kind of information. Because your heart always desires information. It will. It will. I think now you're filled with God's information. You're like, I'm ready to go, Pastor. So here's two. Rest. Take time to rest. 1 in 7 days, God declare it's a day of rest. 1 in 7. 1/3 of your day is for rest. Number three is recreation. Recreation is doing something fun. If you like painting, paint. Writing, write. Playing music, play music. If you like sports, play sports. Do recreation. Okay. And there's a difference between recreation and entertainment. Okay. Entertainment, you get it. You can go to Disney World and come out stressed out. Right. Because that's not recreation. That's like information. If you like outdoors, go outdoors. If you like sports, do sports. If you like fishing, if you like rebuilding engines, do that. Whatever your recreation is. I know somebody here likes skateboarding. Do skateboarding. Don't hurt yourself. I don't know how you do it. Do what you need. That you need that. And watching football or doing Facebook is not recreation. It's not. It's waste of time. It's like eating fake meat. And it's like, why isn't it? I'm full, but I'm not satisfied. That's how eating Facebook information. I'm full, but I'm not satisfied. Okay. So I'm not saying don't go on Facebook. I'm just saying above all things, guard your heart. Put in your heart information that's good in the morning. And then there's no room for the bad. And the good will overgrow the bad. See, that's it. And number four is relationships. Relationships. You need godly, good relationships. And social media promises us good relationships. I have 1,000+ friends. Don't know half of them. Half of them don't like me. Half of them, if I posted a picture of what God did in my life, they would be jealous and hate me and talk bad about me, so I won't even post the picture. Right? That's true. You have those people in your life too. And so fill your heart with good relationships. Now, there's relationships that drain you, and there's relationships that fulfill you. Find people who don't do this to you. After leaving their house, you're like this. I'm careful now who I'm hanging out with. I love all of you, but I'm not going to hang out with all of you. Right? And some people, Pastor, I want to be your friend. Okay. I might be your mentor. I might be your pastor. But doctors don't become friends with every patient of theirs, right? Pastors don't need to. I used to feel like I have to be friends with all my members. No.
I have good friends, and you should have good friends. Find good friends. Pastor, nobody likes me here. You know, Bible says if you want to have friends, you got to be friendly. Invite them to your birthday party. Nobody invites me to their birthday party. Well, invite them to yours. Invite them to your house. Guys, there's a thing called life groups. You know, they're there for our church to build relationships. So you can have friends. I don't have time for that. Well, then probably won't have any friends in church. But that's your choice. That's your choice. I love you still as a pastor. I love you guys. And if you have a need, if you're sick, I'll go visit you. Right? But if you want to have good friends, and our goal here at New Life Church, that every single member has at least one good friend in the church. Now, you should have friends outside of the church too. We're not just locked in here. We're a church that, we're not a church that implodes. We're a church that explodes. We want to be the church that explodes out of this building, not lock in, implode. Amen? So guard your heart. Let's put that scripture. I'm sorry I went long, but I thought it was really good. Okay. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Healthy heart, happy life. Put that on Facebook. Healthy heart, happy life. Hallelujah. See how much God loves us? A lot of wisdom here today. Why? Because He loves you. Why? He doesn't just tell you theology here. He tells you what you need. And a lot of you, you don't know it, but you already changed. Because you shall know the truth. No, no. You shall know the truth. When the truth enters here, the truth sets you free. What is truth? Information. God's information, though. Hallelujah.